Up here in verse number 7 this evening, and I'm thankful for this psalm. I've made comment each week as we've studied through this particular psalm of just how thankful I am for the Word of God. And God's Word is powerful, God's Word is profitable. And we know that as we think about the Word of God and understand that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and He is the omniscient God, He knows all things, and He has created us, He is Creator God, He created us, He knows us, He knows our frame, He knows that we're but dust. And so we understand that as He's providing instruction, that the instruction He gives us in His Word, yes, it's profitable, but there's great value in the instruction that He provides us with. And what a blessing to know the truth of the Word of God. As human beings, there are times in which we can get worked up about so many different things. We begin to think of those things that are taking place in our world and so many things that are taking place. And man, if we're not careful, we can get distracted. We'll deal with that in just a moment. And we can get worked up about some things. And it's easy to do so. Someone asked me when I got back, you know, we were away in Israel. It's kind of interesting. In Israel, they had elections when we were there. And then while we were there, they had elections here. And so we were over there and they shut the whole place down when they had elections over there. It was actually kind of easy getting through the city and doing various things because it was election. There are kids everywhere because no school. But they had their elections, and we voted early because we knew we were going to be away. And I got back, and of course, because we were away, several people had asked me. I mean, people were asking me in New Jersey, people I didn't even know, did you hear about the elections? And my answer has been this: I heard that Jesus still reigns. Amen? He's still on His throne. And listen, we can get distracted by so many things in this world, and God knows. And He's given us this instruction, and we begin to think about this psalm and how pertinent the information, the instruction has been for us. As we started looking at the text of Scripture in verse number 1, we were instructed and encouraged to fret not thyself, neither to be envious of these workers of iniquity, of these evildoers, the wicked, as God will refer to this group of people throughout the text of Scripture. He tells us in verse number 3 to trust in the Lord. Man, that's a great instruction, isn't it? Just trust in the Lord. He is the Lord God, omnipotent. He rules, He reigns, He has all power, and we're to trust in Him. He knows best, amen? There are times in which somebody will say to you, just trust me, because they know something that maybe you don't know, and they could fail you, but we understand this evening that God knows all things, and He'll never fail us, and He is trustworthy. He says, do good. And do good. As we looked at verse number 3 and dealt with that subject of doing good, we asked the question on who determines what is good. And the reality is it's God who determines what is good, because He is the only one that is good. And we find that He has established right and wrong. And righteousness exalteth a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. And we begin to understand the truth of God's Word with regard to what does it mean to do good. I'm not the standard for that. You're not the standard for that. Our country, our culture, the society is not the standard for what's right and wrong. It is God and His Word, and I'm so thankful for that. We are reminded in verse number 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Oh man, I'm so thankful to know the Lord, aren't you? What a joy to know Him. It says, commit thy way in verse number 5 unto the Lord, to place our lives into His hands, into the power of another, and that being the Lord. And I'm so thankful that as we commit our way unto the Lord, that we can trust Him, and we're encouraged to do that again. In verse number 5, trust also in Him. As we come to verse number 7, we find that the Bible begins by saying, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. I've titled the message, the thought this evening from verse number 7, simply that, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. I want you to consider with me just a couple of thoughts this evening as we look at this single verse of Scripture. Number one, if you're taking notes, consider the directive. I'm thankful that God gives us directions, and we find that there's twofold direction that is provided for us here in verse number 7. He begins by saying, rest in the Lord. And I'm thankful that we have salvation rest. And we think about the truth of that as we look at New Testament biblical Christianity, and we understand the book of Hebrews deals with the fact that we have salvation rest, and what a joy that is. But the reality is that sometimes if we're not careful, we can rest in God for our salvation, but we seem to worry about everything else, right? And here's a thought, and just a simple thought, but I hope an impactful thought. If you can trust God for your eternity, why can't you trust Him for your tomorrow? Right? Amen? And we're trusting Him for eternity. And you say, well, there's nothing I can do about that. Exactly. And there's nothing you can do about tomorrow either. Amen? And so we just trust Him, and we find that He says, rest in the Lord. That idea of rest, as we would look at this verse of Scripture, carries with it the idea of to be silent. To be silent. To be still. And to wait. That's what it means to rest in the Lord. When you think about this idea of resting and to be still, to be silent, to wait, I'm reminded of what the Word of God says, be still and know that I am God. You know, the reality is there are times in our lives, and in fact, it's challenging in our lives today to really be still because there's so many things that are going on. There's so much that's taking place in our world today, and we find ourselves in a place where it's difficult at times for us to really come to that place where we can be still and know that He is God. The busy schedules that we have, so many things that are pulling for our attention, and so many things that we have to address and tend to. But God says, rest. Rest in the Lord. Be still. You ever take some time to just say, for the next 5 minutes, we're just going to be still. Just quiet. I don't like silence. I really don't. I feel like every time when we're in a service, while I'm preaching, I have a difficulty with silence. And it's hard for me while I'm speaking, while I'm preaching, to take those pauses. And I work on purposefully at times pausing to let that thought sink in. But the reality is that I know for parents, we play the silent game, right? And when I was a kid, my brother talked all the time. I really didn't talk a whole lot. And I mean, I guess probably average, but he was well above average. And he just talk. And so my dad, I remember sitting at restaurants, and my dad, back then it was like a quarter. And we'll give you a quarter for whoever can stay quiet the longest, right? And my brother, I don't think he ever got any quarters for that game. And man, he just could not help himself, right? And those of you that have children, you know, sometimes you just need a few minutes of silence. Well, think about our own lives of being still, just resting, to be silent, to enter into His presence, to stand in awe of who He is. And the Bible says, when we think about this truth of rest and the word to be silent, to be still, to wait, I look at it as being akin to looking at what the Word of God tells us with regard to really getting into His presence. You know, when you get into the presence of God, you ever hear somebody say, when I see God, I'm going to ask Him, and they start saying what they're going to ask God? I would say to you that you're not going to ask God anything when you get into His presence. Amen? I've had people say things like, I'm going to ask Him who killed JFK. You're not going to care. And He ain't going to tell you anyway. Amen? But when you get into His presence, those things don't matter. And that we think about the truth, the psalmist says, in His presence is fullness of joy. And he says, rest in the Lord. Notice as we consider the directive, not only does he say rest in the Lord, but he says, he continues and says, and wait patiently for Him. I like the fact that he says, wait patiently. Sometimes people say, I'm waiting, but we're not waiting patiently, right? And we're in a holding pattern, so to speak. We could say that we're waiting, but there's no patience about it. And here God says, wait patiently for Him. The reality, we've said it many times, we see it throughout the Word of God, that God's timing is perfect. Our timing is not. There are times in our lives where we have certain timelines and we set at times ambitious goals that we have certain things that we're trying to do at a certain time frame and so on and so forth. But God's timing is perfect. And sometimes he'll just go ahead and throw your whole schedule off. Not because he's not a kind, loving, gracious God, but he wants us to wait patiently, to rest and to wait patiently for him, to know that he has a plan. See, I don't want to get ahead of God. Typically, that's for somebody with a personality like mine, that's the danger, is getting ahead of God. And I don't want to be ahead of God. I want to wait on the Lord, and I want to wait patiently for him. When I consider the directive, I ask the question, as I look at this instruction, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, I ask myself this: can I? Can I do this? Is it possible in 2022, almost 2023, with all of the things that are surrounding us and all of the things that are bombarding us? I mean, we are, you can talk about a 24/7 news cycle and all the things that are going on. Is it even possible? I say yes. But you know what it requires? It requires us, I've called it this before, to unplug, to just kind of disconnect, if you will, to distance ourselves, to have, if you will, a period of time where we say, listen, I'm going to unplug from all this stuff. Why? Because I'm going to get into the presence of God. I don't know how it is for you, but it seems like, and I know that many of you have shared this with me, so I know that it's true in your life as well, but for some of you, I have not had the conversation with you, but the reality is it seems as if at the time in which you try to enter into your time of prayer and reading, man, there's so many things that can happen and so many things that can come up. And if you have children, they're needy. They have something that they need. If you're in a place, your phone's close by, it starts buzzing. Someone's trying to get a hold of you. And you just, so many things are going on. Unless I'm watching a video, an update video from a missionary, or doing something of that nature, I keep my computer volume off. Why? Because otherwise, every time an email comes in, it dings. It'll drive you crazy. But not only driving you crazy, you know what it does? It distracts you. It's calling for your attention. My phone's been on silent for I don't know how long. Now I can still hear the buzz every once in a while. But the reality is that I try to keep that thing on silent. Why? Because I don't want to be distracted all of the time. And the reality is that in the fast-paced world that we live, when we look at what's taking place and we see that God is telling us, rest, be still, be silent, wait. And then he says, wait patiently for him. I'm thankful that God's timing is perfect. You think about Joseph in the book of Genesis. He was forgotten for 2 years after the interpretation of the butler and baker's dreams. And he told the butler, remember me. But it's 2 years. Now think about 2 years. That's a long time. Where was Joseph? He was just in prison. He was doing what he was doing. Being faithful, as best we can tell, as you study the Word of God, he is faithful. He honored the Lord with his life. But he's in prison. He's in prison. And then the timing was perfect. Pharaoh had a dream. No one could interpret. Hey, I remember, right? And you see how God works and what God does. And the same is true in your life and in my life. And we need to learn to put this into practice in our lives, to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So we say, consider the directive. But number two, be careful of distractions. Distractions are abundant, aren't they? I've mentioned it already just a moment ago, but I want you to see as the verse continues, it says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him, but then notice this, fret not thyself. Well, that's the way the psalm began. In verse number one, the psalmist begins by saying, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. And now in verse number seven, he's saying, fret not thyself. He says in verse number eight, fret not thyself. And we find that this repetition, listen, there is a danger, there is a common response for us to get worked up, to become agitated and angry and incensed over things that are taking place. We find here that the psalmist says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And then he says, fret not thyself over what? Notice what he says, because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You say, well, as we look at this verse of Scripture and we really look at the contrast, and what a great contrast it is, complete opposites when you think about resting and fretting. I mean, those are two very opposite ends of the spectrum, and God is saying to His people, rest in me, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And then He says, and fret not thyself. Do not become agitated and angry and incensed. Do not allow those things to happen in your life where, in fact, He says in verse 8, as we'll study in a couple of weeks, next week is prayer, praise, and pie, but we'll study in a couple of weeks, in verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And we find that the psalmist, the Lord using the psalmist, is helping us to be careful of these distractions. The first that is mentioned is about those who prosper. Notice what it says, in his way. There's a way that seemeth right unto the man, unto a man, but the ends thereof are they're the ways of death. And we find that the Word of God tells us, listen, there are times in which you're going to see someone that is prospering in his own way. He's not following God's way. He's not doing what God has instructed. And it seems as if he's prospering. And if you're not careful, you look at his prosperity and the fact that he's violating the truth of the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of God, and yet there's prosperity. And maybe in your life there's some struggles, there's some suffering, some refining that's taking place. And God says this in the book of 1 Peter, that we might be in manifold temptations, if need be. And we might be in a time of that difficulty, of that trial, and we fail to recognize that the trial of my faith, it works good for me, right? It's a precious thing. It's more precious than gold. And we look and we say, well, look at them. Look at their life. Look at what they're doing. And we begin to be distracted by that. And all of a sudden, guess what we're not doing? We're not resting in the Lord. We're not waiting patiently for Him, right? We're fretting. We're all worked up. We're incensed. We're agitated. And we find that here, that the psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is telling us, he's telling these that he's writing to, and then for us, as we would understand the preservation of God's Word, that listen, there will be times in which we will see those that prosper in their own way, but we must not be distracted by that. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Listen, I'm going to stand before God by myself, and so are you.
Amen.
Amen? And so I'm not going to allow their lives, their behavior to impact me in such a way that I'm fretting instead of resting. He continues in verse number 7. Notice what he says. Not only he that prospereth in his way, but he says, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Think about the verbiage that is used there. You know, there's some wicked people in this world that have some really wicked inventions, have some really wicked thoughts, right? And guess what? God's told us that the wicked are going to be here. God's told us as we started this study in Psalm 37, and we use the comparison that we find as Paul is writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy, and he says, listen, in the last days, here's the description, perilous time shall come. And he goes several verses later, and he says, the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you begin to read through 2 Timothy chapter number 3, and you begin to see all the description there. You read Romans chapter number 1, and you read about the wickedness of mankind, and you understand, listen, there are people that bring wicked devices to pass. And if I'm not careful, that stuff distracts me, and I begin to fret. I'm agitated, I'm angry, I'm incensed. No longer am I resting in the Lord. No longer am I waiting patiently for the Lord. No longer am I just being diligent and faithful to do what God's called me to do. See, the reality is that many times, if we fret over those things, let me ask it this way. What is accomplished in fretting over those things? Some people say, well, it just makes me feel better to... No, it doesn't. It's bad for your health. Just ask a doctor. They'll tell you. Worry's bad for you. Cause all kinds of medical problems. And so the reality is that when we begin to fret over things, we begin to become agitated, you know, the reality is that there's nothing good in that's going to come out of that. The Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. There's obviously a balance there, and there's an understanding of what we're to do. And obviously here in this text of Scripture, it's not talking about that righteous type of indignation. Jesus went in and turned over the money changers' tables, but he didn't sin. Amen? Because he's perfect, he's pure, he's without sin. But we understand here that the danger for us as human beings is that that line between being angry and sinning not is very challenging. Amen? If we be honest about it, it's a fine line. And so we begin to just come to the place where we're resting in the Lord. God, what have you called me to do? How can I use my energy? See, if we're going to be incensed and angry and agitated, and what happens when these distractions, those that are prospering in his way, those who bring wicked devices to pass, we begin to pay attention to that and focus on that, and I'm not praying like I ought to pray. I'm not reading like I ought to read. I'm not witnessing like I ought to witness. And so all of a sudden, the things that God's told us that we're to be actively engaged in as Bible-believing Christians, we're failing to do because we're fretting over these things. And the reality this evening is that we have a responsibility to follow the directive that has been given, and we must refuse to forfeit our rest in the Lord for fretting. We must refuse. Listen, it's not worth it. Rest in the Lord. Begin to think about this psalm, and you begin to understand even over the several weeks as we've studied through this psalm, you begin to notice that there's some clear direction that is provided here in this psalm with regard to our perspective and our focus. You know, so often our focus is on the wrong things. We're looking at the wrong things. The songwriter said, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus." The Word of God says in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What a great example he is. We sang Footsteps of Jesus this evening, and he did leave us an example that we should follow his steps. And we find that our focus, our perspective makes a huge difference. Paul dealt with great wickedness, and Paul dealt with all kinds of opposition and evil men and all the things that were taking place and all the things that he suffered. But he said that he looks not at those things which are temporal, but at the things which are eternal. Begin to understand that God has a plan. We may not understand every single detail about God's plan, but he's given us in his word what he wants us to know about his plan. Begin to understand the plan that God has, and the reality is that I can rest in him. I can rest in him. You believe this evening that God has everything under control? I believe that. I believe that God has every single thing under control. But pastor, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? Did you see this in the news? Did you read about that? I don't have my head in the sand. I know several things are going on, but I can't allow those things to become the focus of my attention. And neither can you. We're to rest in the Lord. I've said it recently, several weeks ago, in fact, when I was preaching on the need for revival, I made this statement a couple of times in that message. But the reality is that we have people running around today saying the world is falling apart, and really when you look at the Bible, things are just falling in place. God's in control. You say, but what about? No, God's in control. Always. And knowing who he is, and really that's the focus of this psalm is understanding, listen, when we're going to trust in him and delight in him and commit our way to him, it's because we know who he is. And when we have a proper understanding of who God is, then all of a sudden it's going to mean that the result of knowing who he is that I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. I'm going to commit my way into the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to rest in the Lord. Why? Because I understand who he is. And that's why we sing more about Jesus, what I know. Oh man, we need to know more about him as we study. That's why he's revealed his person to us in the Word of God. So that as we know who he is, then we trust him more. And we rest in him. Why? Because he's got it all under control. He's got it. And in our lives, we begin to think about the direction that is given and be careful of these distractions. Listen, the distractions abound. Distractions abound. It's so easy for us to become distracted. It really is. You just let somebody walk through that back door and 80% of you will be distracted. I'm serious. I see it from my perspective. It's so easy to become distracted in life. Oh, that God would help us to keep our attention upon Him and to rest in Him and to wait patiently for Him. His timing is perfect. He has everything under control. You say, but it looks like things are out of control. They're not. Rest in Him. Amen? Rest in the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. We thank You for this pertinent instruction. How timely it is. So many things that take place in our world and so many distractions, they abound. Lord, it's easy for us to fret over those that are prospering in their way and those that are bringing evil, wicked devices to pass. God, I pray that You'd help us to rest in You, to be still, to be silent. Help us to wait patiently, knowing that You are in control, that You do have a plan. God, I pray that You would help us, as the psalmist says, to be still and know that You're a God. The more we learn about who You are, the more time we spend in this precious book learning Your attributes, the easier it becomes for us to trust You, to delight in You, to commit our way unto You, and to rest in You. I pray, Lord, that You'd bless our time of prayer. We thank You for the privilege of prayer. We pray that You'd bless. I pray that You would work in the lives of our missionaries, those that are not well. Lord, I pray that You'd use us to make a difference in our community as we give the truth of the gospel. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to be a strong light. And God, I pray that You'd use us for Your glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look at our prayer book.